Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pats win tonight?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I predicted them on game day morning.
Damien Harris to the house!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bills can't run the ball.
And if it's 55 miles per hour wins.
The kick is lifted to the uprights and the kick.
Missed it!
He missed it off to the right. The win took effect.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt.
Still to come.
Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. Michigan Heisman Trophy finalist Aiden Hutchinson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. It's hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. Justin Herbert's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. That should be a fun one. Always good to chat with one of the top young quarterbacks and stars, emerging stars and now burgeoning stars of the great sport of the National Football League. That's going to be coming up. They take on a Giants team that Jake Fromm could be starting. They just picked him up, right?
Yeah, off the Bills practice squad, I think.
I mean, the fact that Jake Fromm could start a game for the Giants. I mean, that's interesting. So the six starting quarterbacks in the New York area this year, Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Daniel Jones, Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm.
That is not good.
I mean,
not good.
Honestly. You know, what I'm just trying to think of, like, what's the worst New York pop culture moment? You know, is it Home Alone 2 with Trump? Like, what is the worst in the history of New York City?
Oh, that specific scene?
I don't know. You know, I mean, like, it's the exact opposite of whatever you'd want New York's to be known. Oof. With all due respect to Jake Fromm. But he's coming out here, and that could be potentially ugly. Maybe that's because maybe that's why the guy I'm playing in fantasy this week picked up the Chargers last week. I don't know.
Smart.
Justin Herbert's joining us shortly. And then Aiden Hutchinson is joining us for hour number three. He is one of my favorite Wolverines ever. How about that, Mapples? I mean, what he's doing this year and how he's performing and what he's turned himself into at the potential top pick in this year's draft. He's a Heisman Trophy finalist. He will be joining us in hour number three of this program. Still to come on this show, I've got four downs. I'm going to do a four downs. I haven't done one in a while.
Proud
my four
of you.
Takes. Thank you.
Proud
my
you.
Four takes on the NFL week that just finished. One of them's a hot take, and I think you're going to really like the hot take. I think I'm going to be right on this hot take.
It's not about being right. It's about being hot.
I want to be right. That's my problem. Is
we
I
need,
can't.
We need to break that mindset. Hot takes are not about being right.
So, yeah.
Hot takes are being outrageous for clicks. And then, man, if you're right, great, you were right.
You're
but
right.
If not, like, what did I say again? And you just swipe it to the side.
Okay. I hate hot takes.
Huh?
I hate hot takes.
That's why I do, too.
Absolutely. And I've told you guys before, that's why I was never a huge fan of sports talk radio for a long time. It's like, these guys don't believe what they're saying. That's why I do enjoy you, because you don't do that stuff.
And but then why do you like it when I work hot sometimes?
Because you're not saying anything really outrageous. You're just amping yourself up a little, but you're not saying some stuff on Monday that you turn around on Wednesday and pretend that never came out of your
mouth.
That, you know what I mean? That's what makes you different.
So when I talk smack about my Wolverines, you like that?
Yeah, that's trash talk. I love that. I'm here for that all
day. Like Michigan losing to Michigan State and the Spartans fans having a field day over that and throw it into my face over and over again, throwing it in every Michigan fan's face, and that win turns out to be just a mere footnote, an asterisk on the road to a Big
Ten
championship.
Yeah, now they're playing
in the Nectarine Bowl. No, they're playing in the Peach Bowl. Right, it's a pretty good bowl against Pittsburgh. I know.
But
the kid who ran all over Michigan, Kenny Walker III, and was being talked about as a Heisman Trophy candidate based on that performance. He doesn't make the Final Four, but Aiden Hutchinson does. Like, that's the sort of stuff you want me to be doing here on this show.
Good old-fashioned trash
talk. So I could work my way up to a hot take that way. Is trash talk like the gateway drug to a hot take?
I think they're two completely separate entities, to be honest.
That's why I just say no. To hot takes. You know, I don't want to.
A hot take is you're just saying.
Or I just say no to trash talk. I don't want
trash talking is like that's smart. That's intelligent. You got to be witty. You got to be quick. You got to have things to reference. That's what good trash talk is.
I can't believe I'm 7 years into this thing and I still haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done my job in that department.
Like a hot takes Brockman saying Dr. Pepper's gross.
You said that.
Oh, I missed that day.
Oh, by the way, Rich.
By the way, trash.
You said that. I thought you did.
Rich.
What's wrong with what I just said?
Dr. Pepper's trash. See,
yesterday I was on the phone call with my buddy Hal, who does all the art over here.
Yes, sir.
I brought up the Dr. Pepper thing. He's from Atlanta, so they love Coke and stuff. Yeah. When he found out that you said Dr. Pepper was trash, the man went off on a expletive-filled tangent and then tried to tell me that Dr. Pepper was better than Pepsi. And I said, yo, you got to chill,
I'm with him on that.
You got to chill
I'm with him on
that.
Dr. Pepper is better than Pepsi.
So then, what?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There's a hot take
Dr. Pepper is not better than Pepsi.
What
are you talking about?
Pepsi has a bad aftertaste.
Everybody likes Pepsi.
No.
Thumbs down, guy.
Oh, my God.
Coke is number one, bar none. There's nothing better than Coke.
But did you tell your guy that I said Sunkist ruled the roost, though?
Yeah, he was into that. But then he was like, well, what's he like better, Sunkist or Fanta? And I was like, wow, we didn't even get to Fanta. But Fanta. I think Sunkist is better than Fanta.
Then we're going to start talking about knee-high and stuff like that. Then we got to stop the conversation.
I'm sorry, I changed
I said Dr. Pepper was trash.
Oh, I thought he did.
Brockman said the Dr. Pepper throwing competition was trash.
Right, right.
Okay.
That was Brockman's topic.
That may be part of why you associated my Dr. Pepper take.
Chris, I'm sorry, Chris. I thought Chris said it.
Brockman would prefer the Dr. Pepper throwing competition
actually be
not to be throwing it into Dr. Pepper cans. But into actual trash cans.
So that's where the Dr. Pepper came up last
week? The chest pass should not be allowed in those throwing competitions.
Yeah, that's how we got
that's
on Dr.
Where the Dr. Pepper.
That you should be required to overhand throw your footballs
towards the canister.
Got it.
With the opening into which some beautiful young lady made $100,000. Right. Wonderful. Great moment for her.
Enough for a semester.
Yes. And
there's a couple books, kid.
Brockman was livid that she was allowed to chest pass footballs into a hole. And by the way, you know, those refs, there were five of them. They allowed it. There were no challenge flags. There were no yellow flags. There was nothing. Brockman would just like to end that. That's the Dr. Pepper.
And Desmond thing. Howard agreed with me.
There are playoff clinching scenarios.
There are. Oof.
They are very, very feasible. Very, very feasible. The Arizona Cardinals, being the lone 10-win team in the National Football Conference entering Week 14, with a victory on Monday Night Football against the Los Angeles Rams, they are in the playoffs. However, they could take the field on Monday night with that playoff spot already clinched if the Vikings lose on Thursday Night Football to the Steelers, and the 49ers then subsequently lose on Sunday in Cincinnati. Those two results give the Cardinals a win, and then there's a whole bunch of losses and ties. That's a partridge in a pear tree type scenarios I won't even mention here because it's too confusing. But that's very possible. That's just merely they're in the playoffs. Wow. And we assume, you know, with a win over the Rams, that would give them a season sweep of the Rams, and the Rams are the only team within remote hailing distance of the Cardinals right now. But there's still a possibility they could lose the division. I don't even know how that would be possible. Someone would have to lose out and win out and all that business. But there are two teams that can, in fact, clinch the division this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers can clinch the division this weekend. They can wrap up the NFC North with a win on Sunday Night Football against the Bears and the Vikings having already lost on Thursday night. So the Vikings lose to Thursday night could open the door to not one but two playoff teams being created. Unfortunately for them, it's not them. And that's the situation with the Packers, who can also clinch with a win and a Saints loss and a 49ers loss together. We already told you the 49ers are in Cincinnati. The New Orleans Saints are at the Jets. And thus, if they lose that one, I would proffer to say they should just go pack up and put in a U-Haul and go home. Even with, you know, Trevor Siemian perhaps being, by the way, that would be the most Jets thing this year, is to have Trevor Siemian come into their house and win a game. Because right now, Gardner Minshew has as many home wins as Zach Wilson.
Gardner Minshew.
As many wins in MetLife this year. As many wins in MetLife this year as Zach Wilson. Throw Trevor Siemian on that list, why don't you? All right. I don't mean to go down a wormhole. We're talking about playoff clinching scenarios. Good, positive, glass half full things for people. And the Buccaneers can print playoff tickets themselves. They could win the NFC South if they win. And, however, they need the Saints to lose at the Jets. And then they also need the Panthers to lose, as the Panthers are coming off their bye week with a new offensive coordinator. They are hosting the Atlanta Falcons. So there's
Vikings
that.
Are involved again.
And those games are all taking place on Sunday. The Buccaneers are once again hosting the Bills. That's a late window game on CBS. I proffer to say that reeks of Romo and Nance calling that
one.
So those are your playoff clinching scenarios. None in the AFC. There's zero. AFC is so tight. Every piece on the chessboard thrown up in the air and on the ceiling like it's the Queen's Gambit right now. Can't even, there's not even remote, like, I don't even know if the NFL folks who figure this stuff out, Mike North and his terrific team, they even said, they probably said, we're not even going to put the AFC into the machinery here. We're not even going to try. With one team at 9-3, I mean, three at 8-4, three at 7-5, one at 7-6, and I believe there's three at 6-6. So that sets up all of this conversation of playoff clinching scenarios. On yesterday's date in 1994, December 6th, 1994, the brilliant Farrelly Brothers film Dumb and Dumber was in a theater near you for the very first time. There they are. Up on the screen, there they are, Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. At any rate, the greatest line, maybe, and this is saying a lot because there's a lot in many Farrelly Brother movies, but go ahead.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! It's just a great line. This led us to say, Chris Brockman, come up with a handful of teams that are sniffing it right now, as we call in the hunt here on the Rich Eisen Show, and I'll tell you if they've got a chance to make the playoffs. Chris Brockman, go for it.
Let's start with a team playing on Thursday. They wear purple. They go by Skol. They are the ninth seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
Your Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to say that this team, where Mike Zimmer just moments ago said Adam Thielen's out for this game. Dalvin Cook's already out for this game. Thielen, he did say, however, is going to return this year. Okay, so I'm going to say with this team even having a decent current tie break in their back pocket for the NFC conference standings right now, the Minnesota Vikings are 4-4 in conference, which is actually at 500.
It's not bad.
Everybody else below them, 10 on down, is under 500. I'm still saying they're not making the playoffs.
Never say never.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, because the Minnesota Vikings still have a game against the Green Bay Packers. They've got a game against the Rams. They have to visit Monday night. They got to be at the Bears. They got to play the Bears twice. And I know you can say what you will about the Bears, but Bears can actually win one of those games. I'm saying, and this would be a shame with one of the best receivers in the game and Cousins having one of his best years. I say they're I'm going to stick a fork in them right there.
Woo.
Vikings, I don't think, are making the playoffs.
Vikings. Toast. Okay.
Even though they're a game out of it right now, and the problem is they've already lost to the San Francisco 49ers, they don't have that tiebreak. Head-to-head, they lose that one. So, who we got next, Chris?
All right, let's go to the AFC. This team was once 1-7.
Yes.
Left for dead.
Yes.
Quarterback.
Yes.
Out. He stinks. Now, not so fast. 5 in a row, 6-7. They're way back in the AFC, but they are still alive. The Miami Football Dolphins.
Yeah, they're on a bye. They're on a bye.
They hit him with 5 shots and he's still alive.
That's right. Thank you. Bye. And then home for the Jets. They should win that one. They're at New Orleans. They could win that one. At Tennessee is iffy. And they've got the Patriots at home. Chris, what's the toughest place for the Patriots to win in?
Weird stuff happens
Excuse
in Miami,
me.
Man.
What is the toughest place for the Patriots to play in?
Last
year
20
in
years.
And year out.
The South Florida.
I'm saying the Dolphins have a chance. I'm saying the Dolphins have a chance.
They got to win at least 3 of those.
I know they got to win 3 of them. I think they win 3 of them and they're 9-8 and I think they've got a shot. I don't know who they'd have to be straight up against, but I think they've got a shot right now. I'll take them.
Yeah!
I'll say they still have. I'm saying they've got a dumb and dumber chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, they would need some help.
Because they're playing well. The defense is playing well.
Half game behind Vegas and Cleveland and Denver. You know, they would need Buffalo and probably Pittsburgh to kind of stumble.
I think they've got a shot here. A dumb and dumber chance. More than, yes, the Vikings. What else you got over there, Chris?
Okay, let's go back to the NFC 12 seed right now. I don't know if they really have a quarterback. They should probably call Phillip Rivers. The New Orleans Saints at 5-7. Do they have a chance?
I just love their coach, man. They're at the Jets. They're at Tampa, home for Miami. And then they finish up versus Carolina and Atlanta. Kamara's coming back, right?
I would think so. They got winnable games. It's just, who's the quarterback?
Yeah. I just think Sean Payton with Kamara coming back. I can't count him out. I'll give him a double.
Is Sean Payton playing quarterback?
He is not. He is not. They're 4-5 in conference, which is not terribly shabby. If they go on a run, let's just say they win them all, even though I just gave one of them to the Dolphins. Let's just say they finish 9-8. I'll say they have a chance to finish 9-8.
9-8 is going to make the playoffs.
I think Kamara, and I think he's just, Kamara's coming back. Don't forget, Kamara coming back is a totally different animal.
Yeah.
Makes it. I'll just, because of Sean Payton, I'm going to give him a chance. I'll give him a dumb and dumber chance.
Yeah!
Yeah, I'll just say that.
Oh,
sure.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, I'll say that. They still have a chance. A dumb and dumber chance. Yeah. What else you got, Chris?
All right, last AFC team here, also 6-6. AFC West. Let's talk about the Raiders. Do the Raiders have a chance? Are we jackpot baby on the Raiders?
What do they finish up with here?
Good music, Mike.
The Autumn Wind is a Pirate. At Kansas City and Cleveland. Home for Denver at Indianapolis. Home for the Chargers. I say they are toast.
Toast!
Yeah, man.
Tough schedule.
That win in Dallas, if not for that, they'd lose 5 in a row here.
Yeah. Losing to the Giants,
go hunt, man. They got to. I don't know. And Waller being out just changes the dynamic, I think.
Yeah.
They're 6-6, so you know I'll say they still have a chance. I'll still say they've got a chance just because they're 6-6 and they're, if I'm saying a 6-7 team has a chance, their schedule though is
but their schedule is
very
brutal.
Difficult. Also, a dumb and dumber chance because we saw.
Yeah!
I wouldn't have given them a dumb and dumber chance on Thanksgiving Day, and they still did it.
True.
And hopefully, just give it to Josh Jacobs a million
times. But they're
going
to have to come up.
See if he can carry him.
They have 3 road games here that are very tough. In Kansas City, in Cleveland, at Indy. They're going to have to win 2 of those.
Go hunt. Go hunt. They got the guys up front to hunt. So, all right. Is that
it? Maybe we need one more.
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
Do you have one more?
We got one more? Oh, Rich, come on. I got one more. You talk about this team so much. I feel like they're your fourth kid. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns.
Of course they have a shot.
They're 6-6, 11th seed, don't have many tiebreakers. Do they have a shot?
I think they beat the Ravens coming off right now. Yes, they're a healthier team than the Ravens. They got it at home. The dog pound is going to be barking. Okay. I don't want them barking when Baker needs quiet on offense, all right? I'll just tell you what Baker's thinking. Everybody chill out and chillax. Kareem Hunt says he's our guy. Kareem's healthy. And Chubb's coming back. And Baker's healthy. They win that one. Vegas comes east. Is that an early window game? Let me check that one out. Vegas comes east. Is that an early window game on CBS? Let me see right now. TBD.
NFL Network.
It's a Saturday.
Saturday
game.
Saturday.
Short week coming east. Playing at 4:30 in the afternoon, Eastern time. Here we go. They win that one. Now, at Green Bay, that's a dicey one on Christmas Day. And then, here we go. Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh?
Who knows?
Send Big Ben out into retirement?
Who knows what's going to happen in that game?
And then they sweep the Cincinnati Bengals and win the division. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
They're going to win the division?
Yes. Why not?
Hot takes.
Yeah. You want me to believe in hot takes?
Yeah.
Grab that plank.
Got more than a dumb
chance.
Grab the plank.
Grab the plank for that.
We got two planks. Grab them both.
Hold on. What do we got for odds on the Browns to win the division?
We got three planks.
Hold on a second.
He's grabbing all the planks, Chris.
He's got all the planks. I got this plank.
Oh, I'm the hot plank.
I got this plank.
Hey.
And I got my buddy Cedar Spills Tom Person's hot take plank because it's in the form of my own head here.
The Browns are 7-1. 7-1 to win the North.
Take it.
Wow.
I don't condone that behavior, but take it. Mooch has got a blackboard. He's underlining words to tell you not to do it.
He really is. I didn't listen to Mooch last night. I made a kill it on the under.
By the way,
I told you that before we left, though.
If I could only bet against the stuff Mooch says sitting next to me on Sunday, I wouldn't be here. I'd be retired. I'd be neighbors right now with Musburger.
Or Joe Buck and Cabo. Succession. You'd be on Lake Como.
Exactly.
Talking about I want a merger.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Sleeping on it. He needs to do a mattress deep dive.
All right, let's take a break. Justin Herbert's waiting for us on the other side of the Los Angeles Chargers. Don't go anywhere. What do you think about those choices? 844-204-RICH. Call us. We'll have time for your calls, too.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It is time for our next guest to join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When was the last time we had him on, Chris? Do you know when the last time we had him on?
I don't.
Was it last off season?
I feel like we might have talked to him in the off season.
Is he on the phone line right now?
He is.
Okay. Joining me on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, fresh off a big W in Cincinnati, Ohio, getting set to take on the New York Football Giants in SoFi Stadium, is none other than the quarterback of the Los Angeles Chargers, back on the Rich Eisen Show, Justin Herbert. How you doing, Justin?
Always great to be back. Doing well. Thank you.
Really appreciate you saying that. So let's jump into it. How do you view your 2021 season as we enter week 14? How do you
view it? That's a great question. You know, and I think one of the great things about our team is we've played some really good football. And at times, you know, we haven't played as great of football. And those are the moments that you watch the film and you have to learn from. And, we're going to make mistakes, but our team's going to learn from them. And, you know, I think we've come a long way and there's still a lot of football left.
So to what do you attribute the inconsistency that you refer to?
I think it's just the NFL. I think you're going up against some pretty tough competition. And every week you're going to go against a team that's well coached, and they're going to have studs on the defense and offense. So it's all about how you prepare and having a good week of protection plans and talking about coverage and doing all those things that matter so that you have any chance on Sundays.
What is the general sense of the coverage you see consistently from the defenses in the NFL forcing you to do something? Maybe. What is it?
You're going to see a whole lot of different coverage. You're going to see cover three. You're going to see some, split safety looks, cover two, and you're going to see a lot of man as well. And especially with the guys that we have on the outside, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, you're going to get their best shot. So it's all about having a good week of preparation and getting ready for those guys.
But what is the general sense of what you think they're trying to get you to do? That trying to get you out of your potential comfort zone? Do you see a general a consistency amongst the way defenses are playing you at all?
That's a good question. I think all defenses kind of play us differently. And one week it might be a lot of single high safety, and the next week it might be a lot of two high safety. So it's all about game planning and seeing what team does what and prepping for those guys because, I think they all do play a little bit differently.
Which is the toughest defense you've seen this year then?
There have been a few. I think New England's got a really good defense. They're really well coached, and they do a great job of disguising everything and making one thing look like another. And they've had a lot of success on defense.
Okay, so the Patriots, the one that stands out to you. Did you see that any of the Monday night game, Justin?
Yeah, I got to watch that one, and it was really a close game. Came down to the wire, so it's always a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think's going through Mac Jones's head as he throws it only twice? Any evening, Justin. What was that like? What is that like, do you think?
That's a tough situation. As a quarterback, you always love to throw the ball, but you have to do anything you can to win the game. And, they found a way to win the game by only throwing the ball three times. So, really impressive job.
So, when you go and you went into Cincinnati and it's Joe Burrow and it's you and you're part of the same draft class, do you think at all that I want to beat this guy and just show somebody if anybody needs anything to be proven? Justin, any of that sort of pride on the line last weekend for you?
I think going into the game, you want to win every game. I got to know Joe at the combine, and he's a great guy, and we got to spend some time together talking. And I'm always rooting for him. He's a guy that I'll be cheering for the rest of his career, and excited to see where he can go. I think every week you look to try and win the game, and I don't think there was anything more because of it. I just have a lot of respect for that team and that quarterback as well.
Justin Herbert here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Los Angeles Chargers getting ready for the Giants. So for you, what are you better at, do you think, this year that last year, either just your greenness being in the league or anything else lent to this being your step forward this year? What's the biggest step forward for you this year, Justin?
Yeah, I think playing with timing is one of those things that I worked really hard this offseason. Our quarterback coach, Shane Day, and I, we spent a lot of time working on our drops and how every route is tied to the timing of the drop. And, if you do have to wait a little bit longer, make sure you hitch and move your feet independently and being able to ready and throw those balls on time. But, I think having a feel for the pocket, being able to step up kind of quick movements to avoid a defender. I think I've gotten better at that.
And what about sticking in the pocket longer? I mean, like your game against the Steelers was significant for not just your throwing, but your running as well. But that's kind of seemingly an outlier this year. You were running a lot more last year. What about that, Justin?
Yeah, I think that's maybe just an instinct thing. If the pocket gets split, defenders aren't looking at you and there's plenty of space, you take off and you run. And we'd love to be able to convert every third down, and whether that's through the air or through the ground, you have to find a way to complete those third downs. And I thought we did a great job of kind of reacting to that pocket, being able to take off and run and get some yards.
So Brandon Staley this year has brought a different mix, obviously, than your first year. What has he done with you, do you think, that has helped you to where you are right now going into week 14? Justin.
Yeah, he comes into our quarterback room all the time and just talks defense. And he's got such a great feel for defenses, and especially his own, and the way they run it on our field. And just talking with him and picking up so much about, leverage and where the linebackers are going to line up and what they're trying to hide, what they're trying to disguise. We've learned a ton from him.
Okay. And, so much was made during your draft period of that that piece of paper that you or your homework or what have you when you were a kid that you grew up wanting to be a quarterback in the NFL of the Chargers? Is this the sort of stuff through the first year and plus that you dreamt of? I mean, is this the dream that you're thinking of as a kid that you're actually realizing it, Justin?
It's still unbelievable to me to realize where I am. And, you know, I just have to thank all the people that helped me get here. And I didn't do it alone. And I thank my parents, my mom and my dad, my brothers, my grandparents, and especially all the coaches I've had along the way that have kind of molded me into the quarterback that I am today. And still so much room for improvement. I can get so much better. But, you know, it's an honor to be here.
Like what? Seriously, like what? What are you talking about? Room for improvement. What can you improve upon right now, Justin?
We can always limit turnovers. You know, I can always get the ball out quicker. And, you know, I think even having a better understanding of defenses and being able to check and go through audibles and do all that stuff, you know, I think that's the next step in the quarterback play, and that's stuff that you can always improve on.
Who's the one who yells for the ball the most in the huddle from you?
I think the great part about our receivers is no one really yells for the ball.
Okay, so then let me just that might be a too strong word. Who's the most vociferous then? Let's use that word. Who's one that speaks up saying I'd like it more than not?
Yeah, I think Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are those guys that want to compete for the ball every single play. And you know, I think they're two very special players, and on third down especially, you need to be able to look for them because something special is going to happen. And that's kind of what you want from your competitors like that, to be able to go up and get the ball and fight for the ball and want the ball.
Okay. It seems that at home, you know, it seems that on the road, let's put it this way, you guys are a little bit more consistent and focused. What's going on at home a little bit more for you, Justin? Obviously, you're not shut out at home, but it just seems to me, I've been in a few of your games and I've seen a few on the road, it seems different. Is there something going on that we need to know about at all?
I don't think there's anything different. I think you can take a look at the Raiders film, the Pittsburgh Steelers film, and our offense is playing pretty well those days. And
Browns.
You know, I think we'd love, yeah, especially. And I think it's one of those things that you'd love to be able to compete as well as you can every single game, but that's the NFL, and you have to learn from it. And as tough as it may be and not being able to move the ball sometimes, you have to get better from it. And you know, I think you have your low games, your low points, but you always have to bounce back and be ready for the next one.
Justin Herbert here. A couple minutes left with the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think about what's going on at your alma mater now, looking for a new coach who has left for the University of Miami? What do you think about that, Justin?
I think it's always a tough situation. You know, Coach Chris Paul and I, we were really close, and, you know, I really loved playing for him. And, you know, you can't fault the guy. He has a great opportunity to go coach there back home and be with his mother. And, you know, I feel for all the guys at Oregon because, you know, they've put so much into it. But I trust the administration, and I know they're going to find the right guy.
Okay, is there somebody in mind? Is there somebody you would want to pound the table for, Justin? You do have a little bit of sway, even just saying something publicly. So what do you have? Anything?
I haven't done enough research yet. So if at the end of the year when football's over and they're still looking for a coach, I'll help you.
You'll be part of this. That's be part of the search? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And honestly, I think you're playing remarkably well, not just because of who you are and who you represent, but I don't know if you're aware, you are the quarterback of both of my fantasy teams.
I appreciate that. That means the most to me.
Well, you know, I've put a lot of faith in you, Justin. There's no question about it. And right now, one of those teams is 11-2, and you and Keenan are on that team together. So do me a favor, mention that to Coach Staley and apologize to Mike Williams when you have to, you know, go to 13. Would you mind doing that a little bit? What do you think?
I'll get that taken care of.
I love it. I love it. Terrific. Okay. I like it. All right, and you're not touching your hair this year, right? This is it, what we're seeing this time
around? Yeah, that wasn't the plan for this year, so.
Was it in the plan for last year? I don't know if it was in the plan for last year, even.
No, it technically wasn't, so I think that's just something that kind of came up, but okay. I'll have to address that after the year.
Okay, very good. That's another after the year addressing. Take care of yourself, Justin Herbert. Appreciate the time. You be well, sir.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Right back at you. That's Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers quarterback, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's the latest from Herbie, the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback right there taking on the Giants. You take a look at the Chargers' next handful of games. After the Giants, it's a quick turnaround. The Chiefs come in. What a huge that one is, gents, because they would sweep the Chiefs. They could take over first place.
Wow.
We're assuming the Kansas City Chiefs this current weekend. Let's just say they take care of the Raiders and thus beating the Chiefs on a Thursday night at home. That'd put them in first. They're just a game back, and then they'd have that tiebreak. And if the Raiders somehow beat the Chiefs, Chargers could be in first place going into that game. And then they're at Houston, home for Denver. They should beat up Denver. I know Denver's a tough defensive team that just showed them the back of their hand in Week 12 in Denver. And then go to Vegas. Some fun AFC West games coming up. Right then and there. So keep an eye on all of that. Your phone calls when we come back, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, and then we set up hour number three of this program. The Coach of the Year candidates have come out in college football. We'll hit that when we come back, too.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take this phone call. Andrew in Washington State. What's up, Andrew?
Rich, first time, long time. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Bing.
What's on your mind?
All right. Sorry about the noise you cut me while going out on an errand. But, hey,
won't hear anything.
I want to say something real quick. I think it's going to be the MVP versus the Rookie of the Year, Tom Brady versus Mac Jones, Super Bowl 2022, the brain of Belichick versus the age of Brady. What do you think? You did your hot takes earlier.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good hot take.
I don't think that's a hot take at all. I think the football gods have been winking at us on this concept for weeks now. And if you thought the run-up to the Week 4 Sunday Nighter, in which Seth Wickersham's book on the Patriots years came out, and we were talking about Brady and Belichick and X, Y, and Z between them and A, B, and C, and who meant more to the other and all that stuff. And they quickly hugged it out on the field because they were talking with each other after the game. And Belichick walked into the locker room and took Brady aside and had a conversation back there. And if you thought that maybe wouldn't lend any hype to the Super Bowl, extra hype to the Super Bowl that no other matchup would provide, I think you're way wrong. I think that entire week would be lit here in Southern California. Lit.
I hear you. Also, one little tidbit. You know, it's the only third time in NFL history that a team has only attempted three passes during a game. So it happened last night.
Yeah, I know. And the last time, and thank you very much. In fact, the record for fewest is two in a win. Joe Ferguson of the Buffalo Bills did it against my Jets. I mean, I wrote this down. It was in
73 or something?
Yeah, 1973.
At one point, Mac
week
was...
Week 3, 73.
At one point, he was 1-for-1, 12 yards, with a 116 passer rating.
Look, this is why passer rating is so confusing to fans and ridiculous.
Nobody knows the formula.
You're 1-for-1. Why isn't that a perfect passer rating?
Yards and no touchdown pass. If that would have been like 1-for-1 for 50 yards and
a touchdown.
What's
the threshold?
I think it just factors in the calculation, whether it was a touchdown, how many yards it was for.
With earned runs, it's like the number of runs you've given divided by 9. That's it.
Well, that's also a stat that doesn't really mean anything.
Or the runs divide. It's not divided by 9. I guess it goes into 9, right? Is that what it is? I'm so bad at math.
ERA,
it's ridiculous. My brain is so not wired for it.
That's why we're not baseball's target demo anymore. Like, wins, RBI, batting average, they don't matter.
What is wins above replacement?
That means how many wins you're worth above an average player.
Who's the average player?
Just a regular Joe Schmo average baseball player.
Is there a player that's out there in Major League Baseball that is...
That is a zero war?
No.
That well, is, a zero war is an average
that
player.
That means you're the average player.
Yeah.
Is there a zero war guy?
No, for sure.
What a horrible thing to have hanging over you. You're officially average.
You're solid.
Numbers back up. Yeah, you're solid. You're solid. Hey, you made Major League Baseball. You're in the majors. There's somebody out there who's like, yeah, the numbers support. You are average. You are no better, no worse. You know what I mean? You're that
the
guy.
Last year,
you're
Rich,
just a guy.
Just for
you're
example.
Jag. You're just a guy.
Just for an example, Shohei Ohtani led the league in WAR last year. He was a 9.
So he's better than 9 wins above the average guy?
He's worth 9 extra wins above an average player.
Meaning what?
Meaning if the Angels were full of 0 players, they would have, you know, a certain record. But if you throw in Shohei Ohtani, suddenly he's worth 9 more wins.
Oh, I don't understand
what that means over the course of a year. What does that tell you?
Over the course of a year.
He's got you 9 wins automatically.
He's worth 9 extra wins.
That's, I mean, if you have 3 or 4 guys like that.
So then when he's out.
40 wins.
When he's out, okay, when Ohtani's not in. Let's say Ohtani's not out there. He's not.
I'm trying to
find. He's getting a day off. He's a day off.
I'm trying to find who the zeros are.
So who the Angels are, you're a 0? I mean, or you're minus 9. You have 9 more chances to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't understand what it is. Oh, he's wins above replacement. Meaning what? Meaning the person who would ordinarily be starting in your place, you're worth 9 wins more than that.
Yeah,
meaning
over the course of the over
meaning
the course
what?
Of the season,
you have a 9 time better chance of winning that night with him in the lineup.
If that guy played instead of Ohtani for the whole year, he would be 9 less. They would win 9 less.
Is there an expert on this listening to us right now, screaming at their radio because I don't understand it, and you're not doing that great of a job of explaining it?
I get it. I'm using.
Is that what's happening right now?
I've never understood it, to be honest with you.
I get it a little, Brock.
I'm trying to find who is zero.
I'm saying,
player.
Like, you know what? I'm an old gen stat guy. Somebody hits the ball, somebody scores. That's a run batted in. I know you have knocked in the run. It's 1-0. Your hit was the one that made it 1-0. You batted in a run. That's why it's a run batted in. And I know when you've gone, when you next two times you're at the plate, you don't get a hit. You're 1-for-3. So on average, you put a ball in play and hit safely 33% of the time. And I go, compared to other people, that's pretty damn good. That can get you in the Hall of Fame. I get it. Wins above replacement. I don't understand
it. Where this analytics.
So you want to get people with a better.
They're out of their mind.
Are there people with negative wars? Like,
you're worse.
So you're worse than average.
You're worse than the average.
So you're walking around.
You're not even solid.
Hold on, I'm trying to find it on the Yankees.
What's your war?
Hold on.
Oh, hold on. William, doing what?
Jason Feller is here.
Doing what?
He does an excellent. Comes in here.
Doing what? This job? Or
is this
mixing?
A problem bringing this up right now, TJ?
No, this is actually really funny.
What's Mike Del Tufo's war?
I mean, I'm definitely.
The show. Okay, when Jay Felly, he brings a different vibe. You don't have a friend who's tattooing the show's logo on his ass for fantasy. He brings in a different vibe.
Jay brings you batteries in the morning.
He does. Yeah, like the batteries went out.
The batteries went
out during the conversation with Justin Herbert.
Jason brings batteries.
That never happens with Jay.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
what's your war?
Mike's the weatherman, so that's got to count for something.
All right, here we go. Just let's look at last year's Yankee team, okay? Team you know very well, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge led your team in WAR with a 6.
That's
really good.
Good.
Yeah.
Ohtani's
really, really good. However, you only had...
Zach Britton was minus 25.
You only had 4 players above a 1. So Giancarlo Stanton was 3.1. DJ LeMahieu, 1.5. Gardy Party was a 1, okay?
Damn, he had his first half of the year was terrible. So that's impressive.
And then you had Clint Frazier, for example, was a negative 1.4.
Yeah, but I could tell you he was a minus.
Yeah, because you watched him play.
Right. I don't need a war.
I
don't need a war. What's it good
worse
for? Absolutely nothing.
Solid.
And he made $2 million.
I don't get it. Do you see what's trending?
I haven't seen it.
Ben Simmons is trending.
Oh! Okay.
I clicked on it.
He's going broke.
Why is he trending? I'm trying to sense it. I believe it's because there is a Bleacher Report story out Jake Fisher has written it. His name, Jake Fisher, wrote it. Talking about the new, I guess, new GM or interim GM or whatever his his title is. Joe Cronin met over the weekend with Chauncey Billups, the head coach who's 11-14 now that they lost to the Clippers last night. My guy Dame Time is currently out time for the foreseeable future. They're hoping he comes back middle of this month with an abdominal injury that's been clearly hurting him for much of the year. And saying, let me quote here. They had this meeting, and according to this report, they sat down and swapped at C.J. McCollum could be swapped for Ben Simmons. Been a popular idea among league figures. Simmons was one of several defensively minded wing players who Lillard has expressed interest in playing with since the 2020 offseason.
Yeah, who else is on that list?
Jaylen Brown and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. Come to Boston, Dame.
Yeah, see, that's not what Dame's saying.
No. Dame wants to play with Jaylen Brown in Portland.
Yeah. That's not what it says.
Yeah, that's
well,
it is.
I mean,
that's what I'm reading.
All she did have conversations with the Magic for Gordon. Again, that's in reference to Neil Olshey, the general manager who got bounced due to workplace misconduct allegations that founded allegations based on an independent look into all of it ordered up by Portland. And the previous general manager did have a conversation with the Magic for Gordon, but a deal never came to fruition. Portland instead traded two first-rounders for Robert Covington. How'd that one work out?
Yeah, Woj has a story out right now talking about what's going into this GM search in Portland. And the most complicated factor, Dame wants to be A, extended, and B, become the NBA's highest-paid player.
Now, your hope is that that falls apart and Dame's then sent packing. Which would be just like a total disaster. Certainly when according to this story, that the new NBA collective bargaining or new NBA broadcast deals are going to be done, the Blazers could be sold. Mm. So there's a lot of moving parts up there in Oregon. And you're hoping that that falls apart, and then they're like, yeah, let's send him packing. And
look,
then,
I've said my piece for months and months.
But Ben Simmons for Lillard is not even remotely close to a fair swap.
Well, that's what they're telling you.
Okay. Tell us
anything, guys. I'm going to let you know what's going on.
Who would you trade?
We would have to trade.
Jaylen Brown would be the guy I'd want if I'm Portland. Because I know you're not getting – I know I'm not getting Tatum from you. What, Time Lord? Would I want him?
It would
when
be
he can't
a combination
stay healthy,
he can't play
three games in a row right now.
It would
Robert
be a combination
Williams.
Of draft picks and expiring contracts.
Or a third team.
So you're basically saying we're going to send Lillard to Boston and try and get our cap house in order.
Yeah, and then have a
Portland fans who love Dame Lillard, you get nothing and like it. But don't worry, we've hired a new coach that doesn't appear to know how to actually play with the guys that we've won games with here.
Well,
you think that's sellable to Portland fans?
And cap flexibility to sign free agents. Yeah. But you have to say bye bye to them.
I don't think that's sellable in Portland. I don't think that's sellable at all. Aiden Hutchinson joining us in hour 3. Don't go anywhere.